Good afternoon. I feel it's time for us to understand, to experience consciousness, our very own consciousness. We read that God is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. And it sounds so poetic, so beautiful. But what it's really saying is consciousness is closer than breathing. Consciousness is nearer than hands and feet. God and consciousness are one. And whose consciousness? Yours. There's only one consciousness. It's your consciousness. Your consciousness and God are one. Closer than your breathing, nearer than your hands and feet. Your consciousness, God, maintains and sustains you. Its expression. Now I know that you never think of your breathing. You've been doing it your entire life, but unless something obstructs your airway, unless you're under the water and you need to get to the surface to catch a breath, you don't think of your breathing. Unless you're having an allergic reaction and your throat tightens up, you don't think of your breathing. You just never even think of it. Something is maintaining your breathing, not on the conscious level, not on your thinking level. Your thinking is not controlling your breathing. And if you're thinking consciously of your breathing, something's probably wrong. The same is true for your heartbeat. You don't think of your heart beating, and yet it's beating hundreds of thousands of times since you were born, since you came to Earth or appeared here. Right? But you don't think of your breathing unless you are suddenly startled and there's that rush of adrenaline into your bloodstream, and then your heart starts racing, and then you think of your heart. You can feel it racing. You're consciously thinking of it. But for the most part, you don't think of your heart. And if you are thinking of your heart, something's probably wrong. Something's not right at that moment. And so consciousness, God, your consciousness controls your, or regulates and maintains your breathing and your heart. You don't do this with your mind. And we take all that for granted. Never even give it any thought until someone brings it to our attention, or something brings it to our attention. We just live. In that respect, we're like the lilies. We toil not, neither do we spin. Now, what about our other needs? What about our supply, our housing, our clothes, our automobiles? What about our food? What about our mortgage payment? What about our rent? This I'll take care of. Yes, I'll put my mind to it. I'll take conscious thought about it. Oh, yes, I know that consciousness is taking care of these other two things, because I can't, but this I can do. I'll take care of this. And because the conscious thinking is running it, something is probably wrong. Something is probably really wrong. We don't trust consciousness, God, with our supply, or we don't understand how to give the control back to consciousness, do we? Seems to be just a natural thing that consciousness has control of our heartbeat and our breathing, but it becomes an unnatural thing as far as our supply goes, doesn't it? We take control. I'll do that. I will be the breadwinner. I will be the provider. And when we take that into our hands and control that, consciousness just backs off. Okay, take it away. Well, what happens? We run out. It doesn't work as we thought it would. Our much thinking hasn't produced what we thought. Our planning doesn't work. We've got to take our supply, and by supply I mean health, clothes, food, housing, transportation, all these things necessary to living here. We've got to take that and somehow let consciousness take over, just as it does for our breathing and our heartbeat. And we've got to let consciousness take over to the point where we no longer take thought for these things. I mean that seriously. We take no thought for these things. Just as you take no thought for your heartbeat, you take no thought for your breathing. If you would have your supply run as smoothly as these other things, you're going to have to take no thought for your supply, any of it, and live in such a way that consciousness expresses itself and maintains and sustains supply. Now that's what we were told. I know you know this. You know this probably better than I do. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. You may have heard some ravens in the background. We have them out here in our yard right now. Ravens or crows, probably crows. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Can you take thought and grow your body another inch? Well, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And in this book, The Infinite Way, Joel says, well, how is it possible to take no thought for money when pressing obligations must be met? And that's really the issue, isn't it? On the one hand, I think we know intuitively if we could handle our supply in the same way that we handle our breathing and our heart rate, that is, not handle it at all, forget that it's even there, we know that consciousness, God, our very own consciousness, would take over. Yet, we've been trained to go out and get, to plot, to plan, and to take thought. If you don't take thought, you're rather foolish, so the world says. But here's the master saying, take no thought. Who is right, the world or the master? Well, we know the answer. But then it comes to this question, how do we do it? How do we do it? How can I stand still so that consciousness provides? God and consciousness are one. We're not using the word God because then it feels like you have to go to God for something. Like God is withholding something and God's not. God is being God. We're using the word consciousness so that we can learn how to step aside and witness consciousness maintaining and sustaining its idea of supply. And that's one of the problems that we have, is we have our own idea of supply. But what is consciousness, your consciousness, what is its idea of supply? This you will know as you learn to take no thought. Now, several things are needed. You need to know some things before you can live this principle. Number one, you have to know that consciousness really does provide. That Jesus Christ was not making this up when he said, your Father, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your consciousness' good pleasure. It's the good pleasure of your consciousness to flow forth and express as your needs met, as your fulfillment, as your harmony. Now we who have heard Joel's talk, The Deep Silence of My Peace, know that he says, in your meditation, when you stop taking thought, when you become still, you reach a place of receptivity where the peace of Christ enters you. And whether you call it the peace, the presence, whether you call it the light, the love, it enters your being. You feel it actually enter. You feel its presence. And he says on that talk, the peace within becomes the harmony without. The peace within becomes the harmony without. In the Kalua study series, he says, it sounds funny, doesn't it? He says, but contacting this presence within appears as harmony in international relationships, or for another it appears as health, or for another it appears as supply. And so, you and I must live in such a way that we make this contact, that we enter the silence to such a point, to such a depth, that we feel this peace, we feel this presence. Not an imagined thing, but an actual living presence, the presence of our very own consciousness, God. And making this contact, we rest in it for a few moments or minutes. Then When we open our eyes, we have made that contact, and the peace within, the presence within, starts flowing as our outer experience. It then becomes our living experience. And just as we take no thought for our heart rate, and just as we take no thought for our breathing, and these function without our thinking, we discover that this invisible presence actually does take over the affairs of our life. And we are provided for. And harmony reigns. And we're taking no thought. We're witnessing. And so the second part is, after your meditation, don't jump out here and begin taking thought again. Carry with you whatever came to you in your meditation. In other words, you might open your eyes and say, okay, I don't have to take any thought. It's the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And a little while later, you start to drift, and your thoughts wants to take back over, and you stop yourself. Wait a minute, it's my Father's good pleasure, consciousness, to give me the kingdom. I'm not taking thought. I'm not entering back into that again. You can see the need and the importance for several short meditations. If you have several short meditations throughout the day, and in the night if you awaken, then you are making this contact. You are taking no thought for a large part of your day. And usually the meditation lasts a while before you drift back into taking thought. So if you practice these short, quick meditations for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes throughout the day, you're never really drifting back into taking thought. Therefore, you're standing still. You're standing as a witness. You're bearing witness to consciousness, God, as it forms itself as your experience. And your breathing is running perfectly fine, and your heart rate is running perfectly fine, and your supply will appear in very strange ways, always on time, always with 12 baskets full left over. Now, this isn't a joke, and this isn't poetry. This is the way we learn to live. Now, Joel says here, how can we trust God when year in and year out these financial problems confront us, and usually through no fault of our own? Well, he says the reason we need have no anxiety about these things is that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, because he knoweth that ye have need of these things. Now, money is not supply, he says. So what is? What is supply? And then he goes into his story of the orange tree and how supply flows up through the branches. Now, this is all, of course, in the chapter Supply in the book The Infinite Way. Now, this is something you have to come to have an inner feeling about. You have to feel what supply really is. This must be an inner realization, and a realization means feel. You must have the feel of it. It's not enough to walk around saying, God is my supply, God is my supply, and then look for some money. And that's what he's saying. How do we do this when year after year nothing's changed? We're still in lack and limitation. It's because we still don't know what supply is. We don't have the conscious feeling of supply. In our meditation is where we will come to the conscious awareness of supply. I see it this way. Well, I know it to be this way. supply can't be found on planet Earth. You cannot find supply. You can find what supply appears as. Supply appears as a body. Supply appears as a dollar. Supply appears as a home. Supply appears as an automobile. Supply appears as a companion. But none of those things are supply. That's what Joel's trying to tell us. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. These are not supply. These are the added things. That's one way to put it. These are the forms that supply appears as. That's another way to put it. But we are not to seek the forms or the added things. We are told to seek the supply itself. Well, what is supply? Supply is your very own consciousness. God. God is your consciousness. God is supply. Consciousness is supply. But what is consciousness? For many of us, it's just a word, some vague, nebulous, infinite something. That's not good enough. You have to enter your meditation and be still until you feel consciousness moving, until you feel consciousness flowing. And so for me, when I close my eyes, I might start off with, well, why am I taking thought? That's part of the old way. I don't live that way anymore. I don't have to work that hard. Father, reveal yourself. Let me just rest in your presence. And then I'm still like this. Another time I may sit down, close my eyes, and say, it's the Father's good pleasure to flow forth. And so let me stand still and be a witness. Father, express thyself, reveal thyself. I'm listening. And still another, I might sit down and say, okay, why am I back to worrying? I said I wasn't going to take any thought on that. But the mind has gravitated down because I've been hanging out with other people that are worrying about the state of the nation, so here I am. Now, I'm setting that down. That's ridiculous. No more of that. In the quiet, in the stillness, consciousness, fulfill thyself. And I will rest here until I get the feel of consciousness. I feel a presence. Sometimes it's on the left side of my body and I feel it flow through me. Sometimes it's in my legs. Sometimes it's on the top of my head. That's the way it comes to me. Now, other people may get a voice. I have too, but not very often. For me, it's a feeling of an infinite presence. And the infinite presence I'm feeling is not God somewhere coming to visit me. I'm feeling my own consciousness. This is my consciousness. It's God itself, my consciousness. And God itself is your consciousness. And your consciousness is your supply, but not while you're taking thought. And not unless you rest in that consciousness until it moves. I love the poetry in Scripture where it says, and the Spirit moved over the face of the deep. That's how it feels. The Spirit moves over the water. It feels just like that inside of my being. And I feel it right this second. And so, consciousness is my supply, and it will appear as the rest of this talk, if I don't start thinking. Now, consciousness, your consciousness is God. God is your consciousness. Your consciousness is supply. If you make this contact several times a day to the point of realization, that's an important word in the writings, realization. If you will make contact to the point of realization, then it begins to appear. And it's not that it's doing something today it didn't do yesterday. It's that you're not in the mind. You're not taking thought. You're still enough to see consciousness appearing. That's the only difference. The only one that's changed is you. And so now let's see what Joel says after the story of the orange tree. He says, within you and within me, there is a law in operation. Now he's calling it a law. You can call it the presence. The words aren't important. The experience is everything. And our awareness of the presence of this law is our supply. You see, it's true. Consciousness is your supply. But why don't you have it? Because you haven't had the awareness of your very own consciousness. That awareness comes by having these short periods of meditation until you experience the click, he calls it. I don't like click. I like until you experience the presence or the movement of the spirit over the water. So, it takes consciousness, because that's what is your supply, yes. But it also takes your stillness to the point of awareness. Once you have the awareness of it flowing, now you have supply. Now that will appear as the added things. Now that will form itself as the harmony of your outer experience, of your life. So, he says, what is the law which is our supply? Universal divine consciousness. Your individual consciousness is the law of your supply. So, we're in agreement. So, he says, let us agree now to see. Just as we need take no thought for oranges, as long as we have the source of supply, which is continuously producing fruit, so we need no longer take thought about dollars. Let us learn to think of dollars as we do of leaves on trees. Yes, we must come to the inner realization and the feel of this, the weight of this, that whenever we see dollars or houses or automobiles or food, or clothing, to remind ourselves, this is not supply. Supply is my inner consciousness flowing and my awareness of it. Until it becomes, well, second nature, and you don't have to take thought for it anymore. You know how, well, years ago I learned how to play the guitar, and I've said this before. And at first I had to take thought. And the more thought I took, the worse it sounded. Twang, clang. It just was wrong. Eventually, there was a click. And the notes that I was playing, the chords that I was playing, I just suddenly had done it enough that my fingers fell into the right place. Without taking any thought whatsoever, harmony appeared. And it's no different than this. We have to start out, and it's a bit of work. Because we're not looking at supply that way. We're wanting God to send us some money. My rent's due. I have to make my mortgage payment. We're seeing that as supply. Along comes Joel or someone and says, no, you have that wrong. Let's go back to what the master said. Take no thought. and then hopefully describes to us how we can live that. And so by living this, by having these periods of meditation to the point of realization, of conscious awareness, conscious feel of our very own consciousness, and resting in it without taking thought, and then walking around with our eyes open and reminding ourselves, wait a minute, that's not supply. The only supply there ever is the Creator, consciousness itself. And I'm going to rest in that without taking thought. Eventually, there's a point of transition where this becomes a working part of ourselves without taking thought. It becomes established consciousness. And when you walk around with the established consciousness that your consciousness is supply and rest in it frequently throughout the day and night, I guarantee you, you will not be in lack. That which you need will appear without taking any thought, and sometimes in miraculous ways. As Joel said, don't you doubt that manna fell from the sky. It did. And I say, don't you doubt that miracles can happen. Supply can come to you, or rather, supply that you are aware of in your consciousness can appear in some very strange ways out here. Very remarkable, miraculous ways. And I've seen it again and again and again. Now I can tell you, this moment, right now, I make no claims other than this moment. This moment, right now, all of my needs are met. And this without taking thought. And I'm not saying this to be poetic. I'm telling you concrete, right here, right here. My needs are met today, this moment. And I can tell you how they are met. They are met by frequent periods in which I turn within, become still, so still that I feel the movement of the Spirit on the waters. I feel the presence flow through me. I become consciously aware of invisible, infinite consciousness, and I rest in it consciously. This then maintains my heart. This then maintains my breathing. This then maintains my home. It maintains my automobile. It maintains my health. It maintains my clothing. It maintains my heat. And all of my needs are provided right now, this moment. So, Joel says, let us learn to look at the lilies and rejoice at the proof of the presence of God's love for His creation. Let us watch the sparrows, or in my case, the crows, and note how confidently they trust this law. Yeah, they're not taking thought. They go, they look for food, and here it is. Let us rejoice when we see the flowers in spring and summer because they assure us of the divine presence. Or they remind us that, yes, it flows from within. Why am I looking out there? Enjoy the things of the outer realm, but do not consider them as supply, says Joel. Our conscious awareness of the presence and activity of our very own consciousness is supply. And the outer things are the forms our consciousness takes on. The inner supply appears as the necessary outer things. Now, is that clear? Do you see what direction you need to go? The point will come, the day will come, the transition will come, where this becomes as normal and natural as breathing, as your heart beating, where you will take no thought. Sure, you'll get up each day and you'll do the work that's put in front of you to do. Yes, you'll do the next right thing, the next indicated thing. But you'll have several periods of making this contact with God, your very own consciousness. And you won't be taking any thought for anything. You won't have to. It will all appear exactly on time. And more than enough. Enough so that you can share. And that's the truth. That's the way I live. And you too can live this way. It is the secret of supply. God, your very own consciousness, is the only supply for you. But God, your very own consciousness, is infinite and eternal, never ending. There is no end. Now, another part of this principle that may help is to come to an inner realization, an inner feel of the truth that you have no supply. You will never have supply. Because supply is not something you possess. Supply is consciousness, and consciousness possesses you. And so you can see, you can live as a witness and see consciousness express. You can live as a beholder, it says Joel, and watch your consciousness appearing, forming itself. You can watch supply formed, as we said, in miraculous ways. But you will never own any of it, because it is consciousness. And how do you own consciousness? Yes, it's your consciousness. But a better way would be consciousness is appearing as you. And so consciousness belongs to consciousness, and supply belongs to consciousness. And so you have no demonstration to make. You don't demonstrate supply, ever. You don't demonstrate an automobile, or a new lung, or a healing, or $100, or $100,000. You don't demonstrate a new house, a new swimming pool. In the old days of metaphysics, we thought we did. But no. No, Joel has told us over and over again, there's only one demonstration for you. And that's the demonstration of bearing witness, coming to the conscious awareness of the Spirit moving over the water, or the presence flowing, or consciousness appearing, or the still small voice whispering. In one way or another, consciousness reveals itself. And when you feel that, when you feel it, really feel it with a different sense other than your five senses, and totally outside of the mind, you don't feel it with your mind. But when you feel that, have the conscious awareness of it, the weight of it, the movement of it, that's your demonstration. And you haven't made it. You've stood still and watched. And so consciousness demonstrates itself. And should it appear as $1,000,000, it is consciousness appearing. It's not yours. And therefore, the other part of this is we have to learn how to live as servants of consciousness. And in the Kailua study, Joel points that out when he says, God is the law of my being, or the supply of my being, and there is no other law. Therefore, I have nothing to do but rest in thank you, Father, that God is this infinite law of my being. Ah, he says, but having done that, we have only taken a preliminary step because an hour from now the temptation is going to be given to us. Can I afford this? And you see, there is where the embodiment of the principle comes in. That's where living the principle comes in. You see, we said before, there's two parts. There's making that contact. But then there's also out here while you're walking around, in between those periods of meditation. He says, you have to answer and say, well, certainly I can't. I cannot. But I'm grateful that I will never be able to afford it. I'll never be called on to afford it, since God is my being. And so God is the one who has to be concerned with whether or not it can afford it. And so we turn within. God, if you want this, go ahead. And if you don't, let's not have it. I will await your decision. This becomes part of this principle. This is all part of supply. And learning to live in supply. And learning to live in the ability to allow consciousness to provide, to appear. So, we turn away from whether we can afford it because we can't. It's not about a we or a me. And so he says, then will come the leading whether or not to have it. Father, this is your demonstration, not mine. It isn't a question of whether or not I can afford it, but let me see what you think about it. And then the prompting will come from within. Don't touch it right now, or go right ahead. And you will be receiving impulses from your consciousness. From your consciousness. But he says, that's not duality. That's not proving that there is a God and a you. It's proving that there's an interior part of you, which is consciousness, and an exterior part, which is consciousness formed. But God, the consciousness, and God, the Son, are one. The invisibility of you and the visibility of you are one. So, if you turn within and you ask, Father, what is your leading? Consciousness, you express. And then wait. The impulse will come, yes or no. And so you see, this also becomes a working part of your consciousness. Do you understand that? So now we've discussed three things here today. We've discussed the need to have this contact with God, consciousness, your consciousness, supply, and the need to become consciously aware and feel its movement within you. And we've discussed out here in between your periods of meditation, reminding yourself, wait a minute. I don't have to take thought. Just like my breathing and my heart rate, I don't have to take thought. Now, Father, what's next to do? I'll do the next thing that you give me to do. And getting busy in that. And then having another period of meditation. And then getting busy again. And then having another period of meditation. And then the third part is when we are confronted with, should we get this or should we not get this? According to Joel, and according to Jesus, and according to me, you don't go and look at your bank account and weigh it in your mind and take thought and start thinking, well, let's see, I have to have this on Thursday of next week and I've got to have this. We're not living by taking thought. That's the thing that got us in this mess in the first place. We are living by not taking thought. Now, I don't mean that you go and you buy everything you want because you're lying to yourself and you're making yourself believe, well, God's my supply and it's infinite, so I'm going to buy everything. And then on the end of the month, you can't pay your rent. I'm not saying that. there's some common sense here. If you know for a fact you have $100 in your bank account, don't go charge something that's $150,000, because that's not God prompting you. That's you wanting. So I'm not saying that. I'm saying when it comes to, here is something that you need, let's say, well, I'll give you something out of my experience. The dishwasher broke, and it couldn't be repaired. We had the repairman out, and he said it's going to cost $325 to repair it. Or you can buy a new one for $360. Well, that's pretty that's pretty obvious what choice you should make there. I should pick another example. Just something that that appears as a need suddenly. You turn within. You don't go to your thinking, well, let me see now, let me see, I gotta. You're learning to live in a new way, in a way that you don't take thought, that you don't struggle, that you really do rest back. And part of that is learning to have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. And instead of turning to the human mind, you turn within. Consciousness, what's your leading? If you have learned to have these meditations to the point of realization, to the point of stillness in which you feel the presence move through you, then you are practicing that several times a day, so that you are almost constantly in that state of stillness, almost taking no thought at all. Therefore, when a need arises and you turn within and you say, consciousness, reveal thy decision, you will get the prompting, and it won't be a prompting from the human mind or from a human desire. It will be like he says, yea or nay, and it'll come from consciousness. That's what he's saying. So there's three parts to this. Is it clear? Do you understand now? You've got to make the contact to get the feel, the conscious awareness of God, your consciousness, your supply. You've got to live in such a way that you take no thought, even with eyes open, that you become a witness, a beholder of consciousness expressing itself, maintaining your breathing, maintaining your heart rate, and maintaining your supply, or maintaining as supply the fulfillment of your needs. And you've got to develop this new mind where you're not relying on thinking, but you're relying on promptings from within, from deeper within. All of this is developing your conscious awareness of supply. You already have a consciousness of supply. You have to develop a conscious awareness of supply to the point of moving in it, resting in it, and living without taking thought. Now, this is how you prove that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, when you live without taking thought, when you live as a beholder. Christ says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it is. But to come into the demonstration of that, to be the living embodiment of that principle, involves living by the principles we have discussed today, because they all go into what makes up a consciousness of infinite supply. All right. So let's take a moment here, get quiet, and see if there's anything else before we complete this talk. This talk this afternoon is an example of the supply, God, my consciousness, appearing outwardly. And so is the breathing and the heart rate and the blood flow and the health of my continence. And so is the love of my Valentine, my wife. And so is all of you, someone that I can pour out to. So I tell you from living experience that this is the way to live. This is the way I live. How you live, of course, is your choice. Now there will be some that say, I'm not absolute enough. And I don't care. I don't care. This is the way I live. Thank you, God's presence consciously realized unto you. And blessings.